I want you to open your Bibles with me now to the book of John, the first chapter, and let me read my text, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here's the best news a man ever heard. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Christ came into this world. The best news a man ever heard. And we get up and preach it like it's dry, dead, cold doctrine that somebody told 400 years ago, don't we? And I thought to myself, here's the greatest love. God so loved the world. Christ, having loved his own, loved them to the end, loved them to death, even the death of the cross. Here's the greatest love that God Almighty has ever manifested and revealed to men. And we talk about it with such little feeling. And with such little emotion. And we're not moved very much, and our congregations move less. Isn't that sad? So sad. And here I thought to myself, here is the Song of Songs. Here is the Song of Songs. Here's the Song of Moses and the Lamb. Here's the Song of Redemption. Here's the Song of Heaven. Here's what they're going to sing throughout eternity unto him who loved us. Washed us from with his own blood, from our sin, with his own blood. Made us kings and priests unto God. Here's the Song of Songs, and we sing it. We sing it with our lips, and we sing it with a certain amount of gusto, but there's so little heart in it. So little heart. I'm convicted about it and troubled about it. Here's hope for the hopeless. Here's mercy for the miserable. Here's grace for the guilty. Here's salvation for sinners. Here's God's good news. And it just seems like that we can't get our hearts into it. And I prayed this prayer, and I wrote it down. I said, Lord, give us an eye to behold the glory and beauty and excellence of Christ Jesus. Give us an eye to see what John saw when he said, that which I've seen and heard declare unto you. Give us an eye to see Christ in his fullness, in his glory, in his beauty. Give us an ear to hear him, not just hear a man, but to hear him speak through his word. This verily is the word of God. What did Paul say when he preached to those people? He said, I thank God you heard the word, not as it were the word of men, but the word of God himself. The word of God himself. And I prayed, Lord, give me a heart to love it, to become obsessed with him and with his words, and a tongue to tell it to all the world. And I said this, if God can take an unlearned, uneducated man like John, the son of the fisherman Zebedee, and use him to write these glorious divine words, why can't he give me the eloquence and the power to preach it? I believe he can. But I believe before I can present that fire to someone else, that fire's got to burn in here. I believe before I can preach the beauty of Christ, I've got to see the beauty of Christ. Before I can proclaim the glory of Christ, I'm going to have to myself bathe in that glory of Christ. Let's go back to this passage of Scripture, and let's ask God to enable us tonight to see as we've never seen before the beauty and glory and excellency of his blessed Son, of his divine Son. If you start at verse 1, and this is where you must start, if any message that's from God, any message that is of God, any message that's related to God, any message that is related to the purpose and work of God has to begin with God. Teach God's spiritual truth. If we're going to teach about God. Shouldn't we begin with God? And that's the way John begins this book of John here. He begins this way. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word. That's Christ. In the beginning was the Word. And that's the way Moses began his writings in Genesis 1. Over here in the first chapter of Genesis, he says, in the beginning, God. That's where we start. We don't even start with salvation. We start with God. We don't even start with man. We don't even start with sin. We start with God. We don't start with heaven or hell. We start with God. Anything, any message that's from God or of God or related to the purpose and work of God must begin with God. That's where we start. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Let's look at a few scriptures. Look at Isaiah 46. In the beginning, God. And here in Isaiah 46, listen to what the scripture says here. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there's none else. I'm God, there's none like me. I declare the end from the beginning. I declare the end from the beginning. Everything related to us from God, every benefit and blessing we have from God, every revelation from God, he said, I declare it, all those that shall take place even to the end. God said, I declared them from the beginning. I declare the end. I declare the start, the middle, and the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I'll do all my pleasure. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. Now turn to 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, listen to this. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Who did it? God did it. It all begins with God. So if we're going to talk about the things of God, if we're going to talk about heaven or hell, if we're going to talk about man and sin, if we're going to talk about salvation, if we're going to talk about grace and mercy, if we're going to talk about anything related to God, or of God, or from God, we've got to begin with Him. With Him. Who is God? Who is God? Well, here we go. In the beginning. In the beginning. Back before the morning stars sang together. Back before God made man and put him in the Garden of Eden. Back before God fashioned this world and separated the land from the water. Back before the angel's wing, somebody said, fan the ether, so forth and so on. In the beginning was the Word, was Christ, the Word. And he's called here the Word because he is the revelation of the Father. He is the Word of the Father to men. He is the message of the Father to men. He is that prophet sent from the Father. He is the only way that any man can know God is through Christ. And in the beginning was Christ. And he was with God, and he was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs the 8th chapter. And this talks about wisdom, but it's talking about Christ. This is Christ here. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 24. Now this word we're talking about down here made flesh. That's where we're coming to. The glory of Christ in redeeming his people. But if we're going to preach Christ, if we're going to preach a redemption, if we're going to preach anything as being the gift of God or the blessings of God or God has conferred this upon us, we've got to go back and start with God. That's where it all begins with God. And here he says in Proverbs 8, verse 24, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. This is the word we're talking about now. This is the Christ we're talking about. This is Christ here. He's talking about Christ here in the beginning. In the beginning. Before God made anything. In the beginning was the Word. That's Christ. And this is who he's talking about here in Proverbs 8, in verse 25. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. This is our Savior. This is Jesus Christ. This is the one who died on the cross. This is the one who was walked the hills of Judea. This is the one who worked in the carpenter shop. This was the one who was born in Bethlehem's manger. This is Christ. While as yet, listen, before the hills I was brought forth, in verse 27, when he prepared the heavens I was there, when he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one up brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. That's Christ. Now turn with me to John 17. And here is the what we call the priestly prayer of our Lord, our Master. And he says in verse, let me read the first several verses. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, I've glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, watch this. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. What I'm saying here is down here in verse 14, when we start out, verse 14, which is my text, and the Word was made flesh. I'm talking about this Word is Christ who said, I and my Father are one. And this is the Christ who was the every appearance of the Father in the Old Testament. Every appearance of God in the Old Testament is Christ. Every appearance. And this is Christ who, of whom it said in Colossians, turn to Colossians chapter 1. This is the Christ of whom it said in Colossians verse 16 or verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, by Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist, and he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That's who we're talking about. That's who we're talking about. Verse 14, and the Word, and the Word, and the Word. And this Word, the communication of God, the revelation of God, this Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the disciples said to him one day, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Now this is the one of whom we speak, the one that was crucified, buried, and rose again, who ascended to the right hand of God, our Lord and our Savior, is verily God himself. He is God himself. He's the creator. He is God. He says, I and my Father one. He has seen me, has seen the Father. And that's who we're talking about. In the beginning before all things was Christ. In the beginning. All right, let's go back to verse 14 now. It says, in the beginning, and the Word who was in the beginning was made flesh. And the word here, dwelt, is tabernacled. He tabernacled among us. He tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let's take this verse just almost word by word. And the Word, who was with God, who was God, who is God, and the Word was made flesh. You talk about miracles. You talk about wonders. There's the wonder of creation. How God Almighty spake everything out of nothing. Just the stars and the moon and the sun and the clouds and the earth and the oceans and all these things. God spake and it appeared. Everything created by the word of his power. There's a wonder of creation. And then there's wonder of life. The wonder of life when he made Adam a man out of dust. And there was the form of that man, and God breathed into his breath, into his nostrils, the breath of life, and he became a living soul. There's the wonder of life. There's the wonder of reproduction. There's a wonder, all these wonders about us. But I believe the wonder of wonders is incarnation. God became a man. I believe of all the wonders of this world, you stand and look at the heavens and how wonderful and marvelous. And David looked at his own body and said, how wonderfully I am made. But I'll tell you, when you think about this and the Word, what we're talking about back here, in the beginning was the Word, God. God, in whom everything lives and moves and has its being, by whom all things consist, by whom all things were made. He was made flesh. He became a man. God became a man. That's what we're saying. The Word became flesh. God Himself became a man. Turn to Galatians 4. This is exactly what we're saying. And it's the wonder of wonders. Jesus Christ was not a messenger. He's not just a son of God. He's not just an unusual human being, like John the Baptist was born after his mother and daddy were old people. It's a marvelous birth. But Jesus Christ's birth is not just a marvelous birth. And Isaac was born after Abraham and Sarah had passed the age of a bearing children. That was a miracle. It was a marvelous thing. But when Jesus Christ came from the womb of Mary, and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, that was God in that manger. That's what I'm saying. That's God in human flesh. And that's what this is saying. And I believe this. We call it old-fashioned. We call it first-century theology. It's older than that. It's old as God. It's theology that goes back to Isaiah and Abraham and Moses. I'm saying that when that baby, listen to Galatians 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time, that is the promised time, the predicted time, the prophesied time, in God's own time, when the fullness of time was come, God actually sent forth His capital S-O-N, Son, made of a woman. He's the one that made the woman. He made all these things, and then He made man, saw it was not good for man to be alone, put him to sleep, took out of him a rib, and made a woman. He made a woman out of that rib. And here, out of that woman that was made of that rib by the hand of God, God Himself came forth as an infant. That's so. That's what the words teach. That's what I'm saying. Miracle of miracles. Astounding wonder. He was made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus Christ actually became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He became a man. A man. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Now then, you say, well, everybody knows this. Try this out tomorrow down the job. Try it out sometime. You did one time, didn't you? You remember that when I said, go to work and ask somebody at work. Don't pick one just a regular old drunk out there on the job, but pick a fellow sitting over eating lunch reading his testament. And ask him if he believes that Jesus Christ, don't ask him if he believes he's the Son of God. Ask him if he believes he's God Almighty. He is actually God Almighty. The one who created the world, the one who made man, the one who breathed into man the breath of life and he became a living soul. Ask him if he's God Almighty and see what he said. May fool you. Just may fool you. But we're talking about this. Jesus, God, became a man, the Word. And it starts out back here, as I said to you, in the beginning was the Word. Just like in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God chose us to salvation. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. Everything begins with God. And this one who became a man is that God who is in the beginning. And He's a man. Now look at 1 Corinthians 15:21. Since by man came death, that's Adam. By man, M-A-N, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. Jesus Christ became a man. That man, that baby in that manger is God Almighty in human flesh. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it any more than I can comprehend God deserting God on the cross. I just know it's so. That infant is God Almighty in human flesh. That man working in the carpenter shop with that saw, that's God Almighty in human flesh. That's God Almighty. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. The first man, M-A-N, is of the earth, earthy. The second man, M-A-N, just as much a man as that first man. Just as much a man. Our Lord Jesus Christ, I stop and look sometimes at this flesh, and I say, you mean he had the same flesh? The same flesh? He got up in the morning and brushed his teeth and combed his hair and put his shoes on and took a bath and ate his breakfast and drank whatever they drank, juice or something, and then went to work and sweat poured down and got in his eyes and he wiped the sweat. He knew something about temptation. He knew something about thirst and hunger. Yes, sir. This man, the first man, is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. That's exactly who he is. That's a wonder. I'm saying that's the wonder of wonder. Incomprehensible wonder. And not only that, now let me shake you up a little bit. On the right hand of God, and I can't explain the Trinity. I'm not going to tackle that. I never would. We preach in part, we understand in part, we know in part, one day we'll know as we've known. But it says in 1 Timothy, if you turn over there with me a moment, 1 Timothy chapter 1. And this is what I'm saying, being able to preach this with some kind of interest, some kind of emotions, being able to hear it with some kind of compassion or some kind of joy instead of just, well, that's our doctrine. Brethren, I'm telling you, this is a whole lot more than a doctrine. This is an amazing miracle. The disciples didn't believe in the doctrine of the resurrection alone. They walked with a risen Lord. They walked in amazement and what? I won't believe it, Thomas said, till I see a nail prints in his hand. I ain't going to just accept that just because somebody said it. Now, then what he said? Why do we accept it just because somebody said it? It's what most of us have done because it doesn't thrill us. It doesn't excite us. You mean there's a man arose from the grave? Actually, a man died dead. Like Barnard said, like my dog Rover, when he died all over. He died dead, and they buried him. He actually arose, came out of that grave, yes, sir, to die no more. Then I may too, huh? If one man did, I can't. And that man actually ascended, and this is what it says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. Who? A man. There's a man on the right hand of me. There's a man. Listen to me. There was actually a man. And like I say, I can't explain the Trinity. We're not going to see three gods. Don't believe that. And sitting on the right hand of God is not like we visualize God the Father in the middle and the Son over here on his right hand, the Holy Spirit on his left hand. That's not it. This right hand is saying authority. It's speaking of authority. It's speaking of preeminence. It's speaking of the position of love and power and authority and preeminence and all of this. We'll only see Christ. But you know who we're going to see in heaven? The man, Christ Jesus. That's astounding. This is what I'm saying. This is that we've got a ritualistic creed. We've got something somebody's taught us and we've never really thought about it. We've never really considered it. But you think about this. There was a man, the man. That's what Pilate said, behold, the man. There was the man. First man was of the earth, earthy. God created him in his image, and he fell and was depraved and degenerate, and all of his people were just like him, born of flesh. But the second man was the Lord from heaven, and he was born of a woman, just like I'm born. And he came into this world and walked on this earth. That was God in human flesh. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, numbered with me. He was my representative. He was not ashamed to call me brother. He was one with me. He was tested in every point as I am, yet without sin, tried by God, tried by men, tried by Satan, tried inwardly, outwardly, in every way, lived perfectly, died on a cross, was buried, and that man came out of that tomb, and that man actually entered heaven itself. The very holiest of all, Yea, not only the outskirts of heaven, but right into the inner sanctum, right into the Holy of Holies, right into the throne room. And that man, who was my representative and my redeemer, sat there on at the right hand of God. And that's where he is. You think about that. Think about that. And I'm in him. And he came down here to get me. And you, he came down here as our representative. You see that? That ought to excite us. That we ought to be able to preach that with such joy and enthusiasm and zeal and emotion and compassion that we ought to convince somebody whether they believe it or not. At least convince them we believe it. I'm not convinced that all preachers believe what they preach. They don't persuade me that they believe it. But I'll tell you, this is something, the man. So let's go back to the text now. And this, the Word, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, nothing but God. That's what Scott said. Nothing but God. And all of this came from God. And then God himself came into all this. All of this came from God. All of this was permitted by God. All of this sin and erosion and depravity and corruption and greed. And this was all permitted by God. And then God himself came into all this and subjected himself to it. And lived perfectly and went back to glory and sat down in power. Well, watch this now. And that Word was made F-L-E-S-H, flesh. He was a man and he tabernacled among us. You say, what does that mean? All right, here's what it's talking about. And this tabernacle right here in the wilderness was where God met man. Right there in that, that's where all the services, the worship went on. Right there in that tabernacle. There was that tabernacle. That's where the incense was burned, which is the prayers of Christ. There's where the candlestick burned all the time. There's where the showbread. That tabernacle in the wilderness was a place that God Almighty designated and ordained and appointed where he would meet with sinners and where sinners would meet with him. That's what that tabernacle was for. Where God would meet with sinners and sinners would meet with God. And the basis on which God met with them was sacrifice, was substitution, was sin offering, was blood. That was a basis on which he met. But that's where he met. The greatest glory of Israel was the tabernacle. Other nations didn't have a tabernacle. Other nations didn't have a priesthood. Other nations didn't have a sacrifice. Israel had a tabernacle. And the greatest glory of Israel was that tabernacle. And the greatest glory of the tabernacle was the Holy of Holies. And the greatest glory of the Holy of Holies was the mercy seat. And the greatest glory of the mercy seat was the Shekinah glory of God. It was right over it. God was there. I tell you, it was an awesome place. It was so awesome that when old King Uzziah even got to the edge of it, God made a leper out of him. It was so awesome that another fellow, they drug him out dead by the heels, didn't they? I forget his name. But it was so awesome that no one, no person, no individual was allowed inside that Holy of Holies except the high priest once a year, and that only with the blood atonement. He could go with the blood atonement. He could go under that veil burning the incense, a type of Christ intercession, with the blood in his hand, and put that blood on that mercy seat where the cherubims were over it and the Shekinah glory of God. The glory of God. Now that's the tabernacle. And this is what it's saying here in verse 14. And the Word, God, was made flesh, a man, came from a woman, was flesh, just like this flesh, a man. And he tabernacled right here among us. The great Shekinah glory of God that was only viewed by the high priest once a year, that with a proper sin offering and proper blood sacrifice, proper atonement. That Shekinah glory actually walked on this earth, and John said, look at the next line, and we beheld that glory. And we beheld that glory. Now listen to me. You know why I sat there and said, here's the best news a man ever heard, and we talk about it like it's a dry, dead, cold doctrine. Here's the greatest love story known to me. And I'll tell you, we just approach it with the most dead, spirit and that argue. We're going to argue it. We're going to argue it. We're going to debate it. We're so pitiful. And the Word was made flesh and tabernacle. We don't have a tabernacle out there with a bunch of badger skin and ram skin and goat skin. And we don't have a tabernacle with wood. And we have the very glory of God Himself in human flesh walking among us. Now then, you want to meet God, you meet Him in Christ. That's where you meet Him. If you ever expect God to meet you, to have any mercy upon you and deal, you won't meet Him at Sinai. You won't meet Almighty God at the Jordan. You won't meet Almighty God in the ceremonies. You meet God in Christ. That's where God reveals Himself. And He dwelt among us. He dwelt among us. And it says, we, you know who that is? That's you and me. What favored people. What blessed people. Our Lord said to the disciples one day, He said, whom do they say I am? Those folks out there, whom do they say I am? Well, the disciples said, they're saying, you're somebody special. They say, you're one of the prophets, or you're Elijah, or John the Baptist. But He said, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He said, Peter, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Blessed are your eyes. They see. Blessed are your ear. I haven't just read about it. I haven't just heard somebody else talk about it. But I believe, like John says here, I have beheld. I have beheld, not with these eyes, but with eyes of faith. The Word was made flesh and tabernacle among us, and I, favored people, we, blessed people, have actually beheld with eyes of faith His glory. His glory. Now, you can see the glory of His power in the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. You can see the power of God's wisdom in the things that are made. You can see the power of God's majesty in the way things are held together. But I'm telling you, the only place you can see the glory of His grace and mercy is in Christ. I've beheld His chief glory. His chief glory. Now, I've given this to you before, but Moses one day, there was a tent called the Tent of Meeting where Moses met with God when he was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt across the wilderness to the Promised Land. There was a special tent where Moses met God. And when Moses would get up from wherever he was in his tent and start walking toward that tent, all the people would stand in the tent door. Remember reading that? And watch him go. Moses was going to meet with God. Moses was going to talk with God. And they'd all stand there because Moses, see, God spake to our fathers by the prophets. He spake to our fathers by the prophets. He speaks to you by His Son. By His Son Himself. He spoke to our Father. And these men stood and watched Him go. Bring us back good tidings, Moses. Bring us back some news. Bring us back a message. Bring us something. But they just stood there and watched Him go in silence. That's what they were thinking. And one day old Moses walked out there of that tent. And he was talking with God. The Scripture says, face to face as a man talks to his friend. And he said, Lord, if I found mercy in Your sight, if I found mercy in Your sight, show me Your way. Show me Your way. And the Lord said, I'll go with you. I'll be with you. Moses said, Lord, not only that, but he said, if You go not with us, don't let us go. Well, I said I'd be with you, Moses. I'll go with you. I'll go before you. Now, Lord, show me Your glory. Show me Your glory. Now, brethren, you think what Moses had seen. He'd seen the bush that wasn't consumed, that burned. He'd seen the river turn to blood. He'd seen the plague of lice and hail and flies and frogs and all these other things. He'd seen the death of the firstborn. He'd seen the river, the Red Sea parted. He'd seen the rock give forth water. He'd seen the bread fall from heaven. He'd seen all these marvelous, mighty miracles. But here he is saying, Lord, show me Your glory. And the Lord said, all right, Moses. He said, I'll cause my goodness to pass before you. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. And I'm saying this. The Word was made flesh. God became a man. And we, not with these eyes, but with eyes of faith, we, by the grace of God, through the power of His Spirit, through His Word, by regenerating work of His Spirit, we, just normal folks like everybody else, we beheld, actually saw His glory. Now, that's the glory of God. And I know people make a lot out of healing. They make a lot out of other things. But I'm telling you this. If you can see the glorious incarnation and birth of the Son of God in human form, if you can see that and somehow comprehend it, that God became a man, if you can see to some extent and comprehend His obedience as He walked this earth in human flesh and was tried in every point and was perfectly obedient to the law of God, man not only had to have an atonement and a sacrifice, he had to have a righteousness, a perfect obedience. And Jesus Christ, if you can somehow comprehend that God in human flesh thirsted, wearied, hungered, knew all of these trials and temptations and perfectly fulfilled them, if you can comprehend to some extent that God in human flesh was led outside the walls of Jerusalem to Golgotha's hill and nailed to a cross, and was raised up between heaven and earth, and there died as our substitute and sin offering, was taken down and wrapped in linen and put in a grave and lay there 3 days as our scapegoat. And He arose as our justifier and walked out there on a mountain one day and spoke to His disciples, went back to God and sat down at the right hand of God. If you can see something and understand something in your heart about His birth, obedience, compassion, death, resurrection, ascension, and intercession, you've seen His glory. His glory. God's glory. That's God's glory. That's God's glory. His substitutionary work. His redeeming work for sinners. And this glory, look at the next, and the Word, watch it. God was made flesh, F-L-E-S-H, man, flesh. And He's a man now at the right hand of God. And He tabernacled among us. That old tabernacle was a type of Christ. That old tabernacle was a picture of Christ. That mercy seat, that Shekinah glory was a picture of Christ. God meeting men at that tabernacle and men meeting God there with a suitable sacrifice was all just a picture and a type of Him who was to come and dwelt among us and walked among us. And they said, God said, there He is. That's my beloved Son. Hear Him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. John said, that's the Lamb of God. Follow Him, behold Him, look on Him, love Him, trust Him. There He is. There He is. And He says this, listen, and we beheld His glory. Not just the glory of Jesus of Nazareth. Not just the glory of the Christian church. But it's the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. It's the very express image of the Father. You're seeing the Father's purpose, will, glory, intention, blessings, and everything when you see Christ. You're seeing God's glory in one person, in one place, in Christ. That's exactly. One old writer said this, all hail Emmanuel, all divine, in thee, all the Father's glory shines. Thou brightest, sweetest, fairest one that eyes have seen or angels known. Oh, may I come to that place where He will unveil His lovely face, where all His beauties the saints behold, and from then on, sing His praises to harps of gold. That's where it is. Have you seen it? Have you beheld it? Well, I beheld His doctrine. You haven't seen Him. Well, I beheld His law. You haven't seen Him. Well, I beheld His creed. You haven't seen Him. Well, I beheld his preacher and went down and shook his hand. I beheld his disciples. No, sir. John said, oh, if I could get this across. And that word, in the beginning, was the word. That word, that very expression of God, exact image of God, was made flesh. And tabernacle right here among us. And we beheld his glory. And in him we saw the glory of the Father. That's it. One more thing. Watch this. Full. I like that word full. If you are full. And look down verse 16. And of his fullness have we received. Now watch this. We'll do something with full. But now watch this. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full. 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 Full of what? Full of eternal deity. In him dwelleth all the fullness of God. This man, Jesus Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of God. What else? The fullness of atoning efficacy in his blood. All the atonement, all the cleansing, all the redemption you need is in his blood. For the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Fullness of atonement. What else? Fullness of justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Fullness of righteousness. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness. Fullness of righteousness in him. What else? Fullness of life. Because I live, you live. Fullness of sanctification. It says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete, complete in him. Fullness of perseverance. He's able to keep you from falling. Fullness of victory. Thanks be unto God who giveth us a victory in Jesus Christ. The fullness of all unspeakable blessings. Look at it again. That word was made to be a man and tabernacle among us, and we saw his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full. Full. Of grace and truth. Verse 16. And of that fullness have all we received, grace for grace. I got it all in Christ. You see that? That old tabernacle was full of law and types. Christ is full of grace and truth. Christ is full of grace and truth. The songwriter said, plenteous grace with him is found. Grace to pardon all my sins. The greatest sinner can come. And find in him grace to pardon, grace to sanctify, grace to regenerate, grace to justify, grace to preserve, and grace to protect. God's grace, all of it in Christ, full of grace. And in closing, somebody said this. The old tabernacle held truth in types, truth in shadows. Christ is truth embodied. God Almighty promised. God Almighty prophesied, God Almighty predicted, God Almighty pictured. But when Christ came, God Almighty produced truth in him. There he is, all the truth of God. Every truth you need to know is in Christ. Everything you need is in Christ. Everything you'll ever need. Here's the truth of God's love. Here's the truth of God's grace. Here's the truth of God's mercy. Here's all the truth of God. He's full of it. You give your whole lifetime and eternity to the study of the person of Jesus Christ, and you'll never exhaust the subject. And the Word. And the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and was God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. By him, for him, through him, that in all things he might have preeminence. And he was made flesh. And he tabernacled among us. And our eyes were opened by the Spirit of God, and we beheld his glory, his redemptive glory, his substitutionary glory. And this is the glory of the Father. And he's full of grace and truth. I recommend him to you. May God give you the sight that you'll never get over. And I'll tell you this, once you see him, Everything else just fades into obscurity. Just fades away.